Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
It's Friday. Hello and welcome in to our Friday edition of the program. A reminder right here at the top. If you, for some reason, can't join us live at 11 o'clock each weekday, we're available as a podcast on Apple Podcast and on SoundCloud as well. Easy ways to stay up to date with our program. And for those of you with us live or on a podcast, no matter how you're listening, as always, we are just thrilled to have you with us today as we wrap up another week of the pandemic, another week of basically no live sports. And I keep telling myself with each week that we put in the books, we get a little bit closer to the return of sports. We don't know exactly when. I guess you could say maybe NASCAR and PGA Tour are the ones that have the most definitive plans right now to begin at some point in May or at some point in June. But as far as a full return, getting back to some normalcy, we may still be a ways off, but we are getting closer with each week that we put behind us during this time. So glad you're with us and glad you're staying with us during this time. It's been a different time to have a daily sports hour-long program about IU and Southern Indiana stuff as well. We've tried to keep it relevant. We've tried to keep it fresh. Occasionally we'll mix a non-sports guest. We're not doing that today, but we'll do it a little bit next week, but glad to still have lots of listeners live, lots of feedback, lots of podcast listens. Just tickled to death to have everybody still with us as we kind of move forward through all of this together. Some big news from, I guess, I don't want to say big news. Let me back off that a little bit. Some news yesterday, Demezi Anderson has found a new college basketball home, which is great for him. We'll talk about that in our headlines coming up in just a second, a few other things to get to as well. And let's jump right into the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have those Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Demezi Anderson will be one of those headlines. We'll also take a look at a letter, email sent out yesterday from President McRobbie at Indiana that has, I think, some concerning verbiage in it for maybe even the fall semester. So we'll take a look at that in our headline segment as well. And, of course, you got to believe the fall semester and football are tied somewhat closely with each other. I guess that's kind of the main concern there from a sports perspective. And also an update on this NCAA one-time transfer waiver that we've been talking about often with all the players in the transfer portal. It didn't go as expected, and we'll tell you where it stands here in just a moment. Later in the show, instead of Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, he's out today. We've got another member of the Assembly Call team. It's Brian Tonsoni. Brian is a high school basketball coach, big IU guy, lives in West Lafayette. He's going to join us to talk IU, Demezi Anderson, maybe a little bit about the Big Ten and more. Love to have Coach Tonsoni on with us. Because he's got a great perspective. We do not get to talk with him often. Jared is our regular guest to talk IU on Friday, so excited to get an opportunity to hear a little different perspective on things for next season and other IU basketball topics when Coach Tonsoni joins us here in just a little bit. Later in the show, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, he will be with us today. We look forward to talking some basketball and some recruiting with him. And then as we do each day to wrap up the show, one of the a favorite little segment we've created during this pandemic time, recognizing senior athletes from Clark and Floyd counties that play a spring sport and all the work they've put in, all the things even outside of sports that they have lost Each day we profile a senior. We tell you all about a senior that just our small way of recognizing a player that maybe never would be mentioned on this show. We want to recognize them and thank them for their work and their efforts and tell them that we're sorry. And I just really enjoy doing it each day. We've had lots and lots of submissions from coaches and parents, and even the athletes themselves have been filling the form out we have on social media, and it's been wonderful. We've recognized, I think, kids from almost every school in Clark and Floyd County. We definitely have touched on every IHSA-sanctioned spring sport. We've had lots of baseball, softball, tennis, track and field, others as well. We've really had a good mix, I think, and that will continue for another few weeks or so. Today, Faith Weitzel of Silver Creek is who we will be profiling. She's a girls' tennis player, plays some other sports at school as well. We'll tell you all about her and the great career that she has had, and who she is as a person as well, coming up later in the program, at the very end of the program today. So stay with us for that. That's a look at the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to stop by Honey Baked Ham, and if you spend $15 or more, you can get a 50% off discount from a large bone-in ham. So you spend $15 today on meat, on lunch, on whatever they have there, something for the weekend, and you can get a large bone-in ham at 50% off. It's a great, great deal, and it's for a limited time only. Okay, let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Number of things to get to, starting with Demezi Anderson from South Bend Riley, first IU recruit from South Bend in many, many years. He was in that famed 2018 class that ultimately was headlined by Romeo Langford. That was the class where Archie Miller, not just with Romeo at the top, but he really did damage in, I think, re-securing the borders of the state when it comes to keeping the top high school basketball players, for the most part, in-state playing college basketball in Bloomington. And so for that, I think Demezi kind of has a special place in all of our hearts. South Bend is Notre Dame territory. South Bend isn't typically a stronghold for IU fans or for players that ultimately go on to Indiana. And so you really, really would have liked to have seen that work out for a number of reasons. And Demezi was a fairly raw prospect in high school, really came together his senior year. There was hope as he got older and bigger and stronger and put his full game together that he could be a good player at the Big Ten level. It may have taken a couple years to get to that point. He may have been that at some point in his high IU career had he stuck it out for 4 years. But obviously he announced last week that he would transfer, and he announced last night that he has chosen a new destination. He's going to attend, I think this is a really great fit, Loyola of Chicago. The Ramblers, they are a member of the Mid-Missouri Valley Conference. Of course, they made the storied run to the Final Four in 2018, and it's a mid-major program. I would think he would come in with a much different situation as far as where he stacks up in the lineup, as far as playing time and responsibilities go. I also think that it's a competitive team. Even since 2018, they've continued to be solid. They've continued to recruit well. You know, you're not going to go there and, okay, Demezi got all kind of playing time. He was able to score some points, but the team was terrible. That won't be the situation here. So I'm cheering for Loyola and for Demezi Anderson to make this second stop in his college career work, and hopefully he can wrap it up there and have a good one, and who knows what after that. But Demezi Anderson leaves the IU program, 6'7" forward, averaged 2.1 points over 39 games in two seasons in IU, and of course shot just 29.9% from the field and 22.9% from the three-point line. He is headed to Loyola of Chicago. An email blast, someone forwarded me this yesterday. I'm assuming that this went out to students and staff and many others on the IU campus, but President McRobbie outlined a handful of different scenarios as to what this fall semester and next academic school year could look like in Bloomington. And of course, scenario one is to return to in-person teaching. and research this fall. But even McRobbie himself, he says, scenario one is a return to in-person teaching and research in the fall. This, of course, is the scenario all of us would most prefer, but it is also highly unlikely. So President McRobbie says highly unlikely that there is a normal return to the IU campus in the fall. Mitch Daniels, the president of Purdue, former Indiana governor, he was on Good Morning America earlier this week saying that Purdue is going to do everything it possibly can to reopen as normal in the fall. So two big schools in the state, similar in many ways, both research schools. I guess IU may be more research. Purdue has, you know, hangs its hat on other things like engineering. But I think definitely two different viewpoints there. So if IU doesn't open in the fall and has virtual or halftime or staggered schedules or whatever the case could be, with virtual a part of that, and Purdue does open fully, and college football is hanging in the balance, I mean, how does a school that may not go back in the fall, how do they address athletes on campus, football players on campus? How do you have a football season if some schools are back, like Purdue, and maybe some schools aren't back in person, like Indiana potentially? Going to be very interesting, because I don't think this is a sweeping thing where the NCAA comes out and says, okay, we're going to play college football, we're going to start it 2 months late, we're going to, you know, limit the fans, we're going to social distance here, there, and here. Okay, let's go with it. I think a lot of schools will say okay. I think a lot of athletic departments and university presidents will say okay, but I don't know that all will. And what do you do if one or two of your conference schools or half of your conference schools say we're not playing football? How does that affect the schedule and the season? And just going to be interesting to see what happens with football in general, but even more so with some specific instances that could arise within conferences and some schools in, some schools out, if we do have some form of college football at a reasonable time this season. Final headline today, we have spent lots of time, anytime someone, a transfer, leaves, a transfer name is mentioned, we talk about grad transfers, who's available, who could possibly fill that last spot on IU's roster if Christian Lander takes DeMeese's scholarship. We don't even know that it will be filled, but it's fun to look at and see who's available out there. A graduate transfer, still good. One-time transfer, you're eligible immediately as long as you've completed your academics and got that undergraduate degree from the university that you're transferring from. But there's been this proposal, and I think of it like Sean East. I love Sean. I really want to see him get eligible transferring from UMass to Bradley. And so you, for that perspective, you'd like to see this thing go through. But a one-time general transfer where anyone that leaves the school in decent standing can get eligible immediately and not have to sit out a year, not have to miss a year of games at the new institution that they are transferring to. And we were all hopeful that this would go. I think there was mixed opinions on if people thought it should go or not, but there was an NCAA working group that, by all accounts, put out good signals that this thing was going to likely be something that we saw approved and likely be something that became instant, meaning for kids like Sean that transferred this offseason, or possibly it would be delayed and for kids next year after this upcoming sports year's academic year that transfer. However, yesterday the NCAA put out an announcement that basically said, and I'm paraphrasing here, thank you to the working group for the recommendation, but we're not going with this at this time. So the one-time transfer, I don't know that it's dead. This is a one-time transfer for everybody. Again, this does not affect graduate transfers. I don't know that it's dead, but it definitely has suffered a major setback. What the working group was saying and doing is not obviously how the board of directors or the main board of the Division I NCAA schools felt. So a little bit of a blow to that. There will be no immediate eligible transfers. I really don't think it affects anything from an IU perspective. I guess it would affect DeMeese Anderson leaving the program. He's not going to be immediately eligible at Loyola, but definitely that was something in the offseason that really could have changed a lot of scenarios for teams, even for next season. And, of course, for the foreseeable future, if it's a one-time transfer in your college career, whether it's your first year, after your first year, or before your last year, you could get one free transfer. It does not look like, at least for now, unless something happens, something's voted again, that is going to take place. So interesting to see how that came together. A lot of people sure thought that was going to get approved and either start now immediately or start for next year. It's amazing sometimes how things work out. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Friday edition of the program. Lots of stuff still ahead. Brian Tonsoni of the Assembly Call. We're going to talk IU. We're going to talk Demezi Anderson's new home. Also, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. He joins today as well. And don't forget, at the end of the show, our senior spotlight on a spring sport athlete, and it's Faith Weitzel of Silver Creek. We'll tell you all about her, a girls' tennis standout in the spring, and she will not get to have her senior season, unfortunately. Stay with us. A lot more coming your way. It's a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. Normally, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is with us in this segment. Jared is out today, so we get another member of the Assembly Call radio and podcast crew. That is Brian Tonsoni. They call him Coach, and we'll call him that today as well. Coach, it's great to have you with us. So we haven't had a lot of these chats here on the show, but when we have, I've always enjoyed them and appreciate your time today.
Well, thanks, Matt, for having me on the show. I appreciate it, and glad I could fill in for Jared. And it's always a good day when you can talk a little Indiana basketball.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's start with Demezi Anderson. Last week we found out that he would transfer from the program. I don't think any surprise that he was leaving, maybe a little surprise about the time frame. You normally expect transfers a little earlier than this, but not always. He did select a new destination, a new home last night in Loyola of Chicago. From the outset, don't know a whole bunch about Loyola's program at this point, but I do know they've remained competitive since the magical run to the Final Four back in 18. And it seems to me like a level that Demezi Anderson can come in and have a lot better opportunity to participate and perhaps be a regular contributor in some form or fashion to that team. Your thoughts on the move from IU to Loyola for Demezi Anderson?
One, you know, always, well, you make a decision to go to college and you want it to work out, and it did not work out at Indiana for Demezi. I think he wanted to. I think that's some of the timing issue. And then as conversations probably were had between the coaches and parents and whoever were helping him make decisions, he probably saw that there was a better opportunity at Loyola. And the Missouri Valley is good basketball, and Porter Mosier does a really good job up there at Loyola. He took a Division II transfer from UIndy, Tate Hall, who is from Indiana and played for the guy that I coach with right now, will be a senior at Loyola. So he, Porter does that. He takes players and moves them into the system. And I think it's going to be good for Demezi, and that's what I wish for him. I'm thankful for him giving it a shot. But I do think that the game was just at a level or a speed that he couldn't get comfortable with at Indiana. And it just was the right move for both parties.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, the in addition to being part of that 2018 class that was ultimately headlined by Romeo Langford, it was a great, I guess, maybe stake in the mud from Archie Miller to say, I'm here, I'm going to recruit this state wholly from Southern Indiana to Northern Indiana, and we're going to have success keeping some of the best high school players here. That happened that year, and it's continued for the most part to happen here in our state. So I think when you think about it from that perspective, Indiana guys, there's, at least for me, Coach, there's a little extra interest in seeing them continue to be very strong, continue to see them have a good career. But also another kind of little thing with Demezi, he was from way north. He was from South Bend. That's not a area that IU has typically done well getting recruits from. for men's basketball. So from those perspectives, being an in-state kid, you develop a little extra knowledge and love for him. And then, of course, from being in a, I don't want to say a rival's backyard, but in another territory maybe, you'd like to have seen it work out from those perspectives for the future of IU basketball as well.
Yeah, and you know, it was the first real recruiting class for Archie, and he wanted to get that blueprint of in-state and then the surrounding states going. And so, you know, to get Demezi, to get Finnessy were very important across the state to tell players in the state that Archie was real. He's going to recruit the state. So even though Demezi is transferring, it was a big help to the program that he said yes to Indiana. And I think that's kind of the momentum has with Armon Franklin and Trace Jackson Davis, and then the class that's coming in this year. You're seeing that blueprint of recruiting Indiana and Ohio and those surrounding states really working. And Demezi was a part of that in the first year. So again, I wish him well. I think he'll do well there, and he'll have a year to go up and get adjusted. And then he'll have 2 years, and I think he'll make a difference up there.
Absolutely. We're talking with Coach Brian Tonsoni of the Assembly Call. He's on today in place of Jared Morris. Jared and I, a lot of the IU guests I've had in this offseason, we occasionally get thinking ahead about Indiana and the Big Ten for next season. I'm always curious their thoughts. Now that we know, within reason, things for next year, I guess the only thing still, there's two things maybe you could say still standing out there for next year. One is Christian Lander. Is he able to, does he complete the necessary requirements to transition to the 2020 class and reclassify? And is he on campus this summer, this fall, whenever IU's campus gets back to some normalcy? The other thing is there is another open scholarship in addition to the one that Lander could take. Does Coach Miller make a late move for a transfer player, a graduate transfer, whoever that could be? But those two things aside, your early thoughts on IU. We know Trace Jackson Davis is back. There is a chance, I guess a small chance, Justin Smith has declared for the draft. We all expect him, I think, to return. If everything holds up as we expect, your thoughts, maybe your excitement on IU for next year.
Well, Matt, I think I have an honest evaluation, but I'm also a fan, so I always have a little bit of more optimistic look at things. but Indiana has their five starters come back, whether they remain their five starters or not, or there's a shift in the emphasis of how Archie wants to play. But you have five starters back, and you have a third-team Big Ten post player who has a chance to really be good. That right there means that Indiana's probably going to be better. Now, they're going to have to do it on the court. Then you have guys like Jerome Hunter and Race Thompson who came on in the second half of the season that have some talent, play hard, play the right way. I put Armon Franklin in that too, got his freshman legs. So you have eight players who got some minutes, developed their game last year, played together, and that's all coming back. That's exciting. And then you have three kids coming in that are freshmen that are going to make practice really competitive and push for those spare minutes and maybe even a bigger role. So, and that's not even with Lander coming in, who's a five-star guard. So I think realistically, the fan says, yes, it's going to be a great year. The coach in me says, all of that, you love having people back, and you're going to miss the two seniors that left, but the players that are more Archie-type players are now predominantly going to be back, and that get old and stay old is starting to show up. And I think Indiana's got nothing but a little bit of a push. How far up? I don't know if it's Big Ten championship. I wouldn't say that. But I do think anywhere, you know, at the peak, maybe the fourth place, third, fourth place. But I think they're going to be in the top half of the Big Ten, get in the tournament, and maybe win a game or two in the tournament. And that's what we all kind of want to get back to. And I think it's right there for us if we can get that darn season started.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about that, getting the season started, getting kids back to campus. There was an email that I referenced in our opening headline segment today from President McRobbie yesterday, where he lays out some different scenarios for potential reopening of the IU campus. Obviously, the first scenario he listed, return to in-person teaching and research in the fall. Obviously, that's what everyone would prefer. That is normal. I know it would look different with social distancing and other things, but he called that in his email highly unlikely. He went on to lay out some other scenarios that include more virtual learning or perhaps a slow rollout like we're hearing with high schools, possibly with schools, K through 12 schools, where you've got some days you go, some days you don't go. So the number of total students on campus at any given one time would be much lower than normal. Then you've got Purdue, on the other hand, saying, you know, we're making every effort, every preparation to open in the fall as normal. If Indiana, and a lot of schools, I would say, will be where Indiana's at. There's been rumors of local colleges, smaller colleges in Indiana that are making plans for non-traditional learning in the fall. How does that correlate with football? If you don't have students back on campus and you're going to a modified schedule or still on a virtual schedule, can there be college sports? Can there be college football in any normal manner this year?
You know, that's a great question, Matt. As a fan, you sure hope so, because, you know, we never thought that the tournament itself was going to be canceled immediately, and we've never been through this. As old as I have been, I haven't witnessed something like this. So the key thing is balance, the balance of getting back to normal economically, educationally, with the balance of keeping people as healthy as possible. And that is just that's an unknown question. And I think sports, unfortunately, are going to be on the back end of all of that. There are people who need to get back to work and restaurants to reopen and so forth before sports. But just the idea of 100,000 people or 50,000 people at football and in an enclosed building for fans, I think it's going to be a longer time. Then the question becomes, do you put athletes up against each other? You know, 5-on-5 on the basketball court. But yes, I don't think it, unless you have students on campus, I'm not sure football starts. I'm looking at a delayed football season, sometime November, December, and maybe even a delayed basketball season where the start is January and they push it down. That seems somewhat reasonable to me, although I'm rooting for everything to get back to normal as soon as possible and not have any delay.
Absolutely. Brian Tonsoni of Assembly Call, our guest today. He's filling in place of Jared Morris. I want to talk about one other subject with you, Coach, before we let you go. You also are an assistant coach in high school basketball in our state. I believe it's Western High School. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that you guys were sectional champions in your class.
Correct.
This season. And so we've had we always talk lots of high school ball down here. We've had lots of coaches on, and we had four sectional winners from our immediate area here. You win a sectional on a Saturday night. You celebrate, you party, the kids are excited, the communities get behind you. You're ready to take that next step and get ready for a tough regional the next weekend, two games in one day. It's a classic round of our high school basketball state tournament. And as the week starts, it's still fairly normal. And as Tuesday and Wednesday get here, things are changing. And by Thursday, NCAA tournament and conference tournaments have been canceled. And, of course, we know the rest of the story from that point forward. But how tough was it as a teacher, as a coach, to go all season with a group of guys and see them come together, see them find success in that sectional, and then just basically come to a screeching halt about 48 hours before the regional should have been played?
It was just a devastating blow. I got hit twice. I teach at Delphi, but coach at Western, and I have the bracketology group to where our work for the whole season was going to come with the NCAA bracket, and it ends right there on Thursday. And then we had practice at Western Thursday afternoon, hour and a half, had all of our stuff in, offense and defense, and reviewed that and reviewed with the players the protocol for the weekend and had to talk to them about, we don't know what's going to happen. That's the last time I saw the guys, because Friday the IHSA called it off, and then all of a sudden the schools were canceled, and then you couldn't have contact. So we went from practicing and getting guys motivated to play in the regional to not seeing them other than some Zoom meetings now, and you know, you don't have your banquet and things. It's just been very awkward, and at first it's disappointing, because you're not getting to play for that championship. Once you settle down and realize that this was a big health issue, 64 teams won their last game, and usually it's only four teams win their last game. And so if you got to try to find a positive spin, you talk to your team about, you know, you got some nets, you won the championship, and in a really crazy situation health-wise, you were a champion and you'll end a champion. You'll remember that win, and that'll be something we can talk about 10, 15 years down the road. But it's not how you plan it, and it's not how you want to do it. But when you lead, you know, young men, you got to find a way to turn it into some sort of positive and not dwell on how tough it is and how, you know, difficult the situation is.
Absolutely. Brian Tonsoni of Assembly Call with us on this Friday program. Coach, it's always great to catch up. We should do this more often. Appreciate your insight and your time today replacing Jared here on the program.
Anytime, Matt. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Brian Tonsoni of the Assembly Call with us here on a Friday edition of the program. Stay with us. In the next segment, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins. We'll talk some basketball, a little recruiting as well when Kyle is with us on the program. We also have our senior spotlight still ahead, talking about Faith Weitzel of Silver Creek Girls Tennis today when we get to that spotlight portion of our program. One more segment ahead. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Final segment of our Friday program, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star will join in just a moment. We also have our senior spotlight we'll do at the very conclusion of today's show on girls tennis player at Silver Creek in the spring. Faith Weitzel will be who we profile on this Friday program today. Kyle Nedenrip of the Star with us on Fridays. We talk a lot of basketball in this segment, and Kyle, that's exactly where I'm going to start today. Still lots of activity with transfers in college basketball. I want to get your thoughts on a couple transfers, and one of those is Demezi Anderson, who I've spoke about earlier in the show today. He's departing Indiana for Loyola of Chicago. You had a chance to follow and track Demezi through his high school career. He really came on strong in the latter years of his high school career and became a player that attracted a lot of attention from various high major schools. I've got to believe that him transferring down basically a level to a very good mid-major program is a place that perhaps he can excel.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a good fit for Demezi. His offensive ability, obviously he wasn't able to, you know, get a chance to show that or you know, make himself kind of into that player at IU fully. But I think at that level, and you know, we know what Loyola has done, you know, going to the Final Four and being a really solid program under Porter Mosier there for the last several years. I think he's going into a good situation there in the Missouri Valley, and I think that's a good level. You know, I think we talked last week about, you know, maybe that would be a good level for him, the Valley or the MAC or, you know, something in that range. So, you know, I think, yeah, obviously Demezi's got a ton of talent. We all know that from seeing him play, and I think he's a high major talent, you know, I really do. But, you know, sometimes it's just about getting your opportunity and taking advantage of it. And, you know, there's a lot of transfers that you see and you kind of scratch your head and you wonder what the heck, you know, why are they leaving, or, you know, why are they trying to, you know, they're in a good position, why are they leaving? I think this is a situation where this makes a lot of sense. I mean, I don't, you know, with IU having so many players coming back and you know, they should be in a good position going into next year with, I think, what, 8 out of the top 9 returning at this point. So, you know, this one makes sense. Demezi, you know, you could say this is a move that will allow him to play more, and I certainly think that'll be the case at Loyola, and probably a pretty good chance to shine there and let his, you know, once he gets to work on, you know, what they like to do there, I think that'll be a good fit for him.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Another name, and if I'm incorrect in my pronunciation, let me know, but is it Nike Sabandi? Am I saying that right?
Yep, Nike Sabande from Attucks. Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's a player that I remember vaguely in high school that was just crazy athletic, and if I remember correctly, and a prospect that you wondered, where is he going to play college basketball at? How good could that dude be? And after some years at Miami of Ohio, he's on the transfer market. I think there's a thought that he's going to have an opportunity to play at a higher level than Miami of Ohio. And, of course, people wondering, Indiana's got one, maybe two scholarships open, depending on the potential reclassification of Christian Lander. Who are they going to go for at this late date? Today's May 1st. There's not a ton of activity in the portal like maybe there was in mid-March, late March, even early April. Is he somebody that's at the Big Ten level potentially, whether it's Indiana or other schools at that level? Could they be contacting him to inquire about him coming?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think Nike will be a definite high major, you know, however you classify that, power five, high major, whatever type of a talent. I don't think there's any question, you know, that's where he's headed. You know, and I think this is probably a case where, you know, this is tough because, you know, Jack Owens at Miami of Ohio has, you know, really done a lot to help develop Nike, and that's been a good, you know, he's played really well there at Miami of Ohio. And in this situation, you know, you feel bad for you know, Jack Owens. He's former Purdue assistant and from Indianapolis, Washington's where he went to school, and has a lot of ties back here. And that was a big recruit for him to get. And Nike's played really well there, and certainly, you know, has that opportunity to go elsewhere if he wants to. And he will. I think he is. Like I said, I think he's a high major talent. I know Kentucky has already kind of reached out to talk to him. I'm sure, you know, many others as well. You know, kind of similar to Kovacevic McCauley, who was at Division II, you know, out of Manual and was Division II All-American, and opens things up, and it's just like a flood of, you know, it's a flood of high major schools coming at you. So Nike's definitely, you're right. I mean, he's a high major talent. He's a high major player. He's super athletic, and he's a good shooter too. He's only shot 33 or 34% from three. I think he's capable of doing more than that. But yeah, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up going and what his list looks like and those sorts of things, because, you know, I remember I covered that Attucks team. That was when he was a sophomore, was the year I kind of went in. Embedded with that team, and they would let me in the locker room, and I rode the bus with the team and all those things. And it's funny looking back, because Nike was a sophomore on that team, and he was sort of a fringe varsity player, started to get in more at the end of the year. But you could see even at that point what kind of talent he had, and you know, it was only a matter of time. He was a really you know, confident. He had a lot of personality even as a sophomore, and it was fun to see him as a young guy on that team, which had a lot of seniors on it, kind of make his way and into that lineup. But he's come along. You know, he's obviously come a long ways. He's a really good player, and you know, I expect there's going to be a lot of interest in Nike. You know, as he gets closer to making a decision.
Interesting stuff. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, we've spent some time each week talking about this COVID-19 pandemic. Indianapolis, Marion County has been hard hit specifically in our state. Curious how things are. And then on another note, you know, you see yesterday the passing of a former IU assistant coach, Eddie Schilling, his father, I believe had some other issues, but COVID-19 was something that did factor in his passing, unfortunately. It continues to affect friends, basketball community, people that we know, people that we've heard of, and it just is a sad situation when so many from the high school basketball scene that you wrote about from the 1-4A sectional there were affected either with the disease or with the virus or ultimately succumbed to the virus. And it just feels like each week we have one or two names of, you either know them or you know of them, and they're great basketball figures in our state. And this has been a tough deal for them and for a lot of people.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, again, you know, I'm surprised sometimes I see the numbers and you know, a lot of people, you know, say they still don't know anybody who's been affected. And it's like, well, man, you're lucky, because, you know, a lot of us know a lot of people who've died from this and or have had it, you know, it's a tough time. And, you know, like you said, Eddie Schilling Sr., he was a guy who reached out to me a lot, you know, just to talk high school basketball, or he'd email me just to drop a note about, you know, something in high school basketball. And so had some conversations with him that way. And I was always a super nice guy, you know, when you talk to him. And I think a lot of people knew him and of course knew his son, but really a guy who knew high school basketball inside and out. And another big loss. Was sad to see that yesterday. And you know, what's interesting now, I think, is how, you know, I'm curious how the high school scene is going to look. You know, the Department of Education said this week, and I talked to Bobby Cox, you know, before this came out, but you know, they basically said that the gyms will be shut down and the schools in general will be shut down until June 30th. So, you know, that puts things like the Charlie Hughes shootout, you know, what's going to happen with that? Are they going to move it back, you know, to July, or what's going to happen? Or, you know, just generally getting into the schools to lift weights and you know, get in the gym for stuff. And what happens with that, you know? And I know there's been some talk from talking to Bobby Cox. Some of the schools want to, you know, waive that moratorium week, the first week of July. And he's a little hesitant to do that at this point, but I think, you know, it'll be interesting what July looks like, I think, because we know not much is going to happen in June now, but what kind of plan moving forward are we going to have for July as it gets into, you know, at that point you're getting pretty close to high school football, and that will be a huge topic of discussion. Already is. I asked Bobby Cox, is it too early to start worrying about high school football? And, you know, he basically said, we're already there. You know, we already are worried because it is such a financial boost. It helps fund lots of sports for lots of schools. And, you know, the IHSA loses out on a lot by not having a football tournament. They missed out on a lot by, you know, he said roughly $500,000 by not having the boys basketball tournament. And you're going to lose more not having these spring sport tournaments. So, football's on the horizon. I think, you know, for every sport, really, the summer's on the horizon, what that's going to look like. And I think we'll get back to doing some stuff in the summer. I think Little League Baseball, you know, they canceled the World Series, but I think, you know, kids are going to be able to play some at least before too long here, maybe later this month or into June. But what else, you know, what else is that going to look like? I think it's probably a little early to know, you know, some answers on this stuff. We have to wait and see what happens, you know, but starting to wonder what that landscape's going to look like here as we get closer to, you know, closer to the summertime.
Yeah, no question. Some interesting days ahead. In fact, I think this afternoon at 2:30, we're expecting some fairly important announcements from Governor Holcomb on what the stay-at-home order could look like or not look like moving forward, and perhaps when different sectors of businesses in the state could potentially begin to reopen. And then I believe Monday there is an important IHSA meeting, although we kind of know, as you said, June is basically shot for any type of activity or for any type of improvement or practice in the off season for all sports at the high school level. We might learn a little bit more perhaps about beyond that or the fall. So some interesting times, meetings, press conferences ahead as we all just begin to think and wonder what the future of this thing in the immediate school year, in the fall, in the winter, how it could affect basketball even. Can you imagine a gym where the benches are maybe two or three rows deep and you're social distancing on the bench and the fans are spread out and there are limits on how many people can come in a game? There's just so many ways this could go when you really start to think about practically how could some of this look. So there's no question that health is at the forefront, obviously, and things are getting better, it seems, at least for now. And let's hope that we can start to have some of these conversations about sports even a little bit more serious here in the very near future.
Yeah, I know everybody's getting sick of being cooped up and and those sorts of things, but you know, that also doesn't mean, just because we're sick of it doesn't mean it's fine. You know, so I think there's some of that going on right now where it's just like, you know, we're sick of doing this, so let's go back and that would make me a little concerned, and that's not enough of a reason, you know. And so we got to be careful, I think, as to what what things look like when we do go back. I know, just mentioning the Little League thing there, they're talking about going back to that, and each team will have their own baseball, and things will look differently, no dugouts and no people in the bleachers and things like that, and hopefully they can go back to that. That would be some sort of a normalcy again, but we are seeing still things happening, people getting this coronavirus and still lots of people passing away from it. So we're not through it yet, just because it's starting to get warm outside.
Absolutely. Kyle Neddenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle is always with us on Fridays. Appreciate you. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll do it again next Friday.
Sounds great, man. Have a great weekend.
All right. We're going to wrap things up today, as we do each day here on the show, with a senior spotlight for a spring sport athlete in Clark and Floyd counties that has essentially lost their final season due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Today, we recognize a student athlete from Silver Creek High School. Faith Weitzel is her name, and she's a girls tennis player in the spring for the Dragons. Lots of accomplishments athletically. She was a tennis sectional champion in 2018. She was a volleyball sectional and regional champion in 2018 as well. Sectional champions volleyball 2019, and a regional finalist in volleyball with really good Silver Creek volleyball teams in 2019 as well. Very strong on the academic front, Faith is. National Honor Society, Tennis Team Academic All-State in 2018 and 2019. Volleyball Academic All-State in 2019. She was the recipient of the Scott Bostock Volleyball Scholarship in 2019 and National History Day State finalist as well. Now, we're recognizing her primarily for girls tennis. That's the season she's missing out on, but she's a really good volleyball player as well. In fact, that is what she will do in college at Cumberland University in Tennessee. She's going there on an academic and athletic scholarship to continue her volleyball career. A couple shout-outs, people she wanted to recognize: Coach Ben Albrand at Silver Creek, also the volleyball coaches at Silver Creek, Jeff and Todd Zimmerman, Beth Cutter as well. Her trainer, Ross Hofel, is someone else she wanted to recognize, and everybody that's coached her in school and club volleyball, and also her tennis coaches, Coach Christy Nunn. Faith Weitzel is the daughter of Eric and Christy Weitzel. As I mentioned, she will attend Cumberland University in Tennessee. She will major in elementary education, and she will play volleyball at the next level. Our hats off to Faith Weitzel. Very active in the classroom, on the tennis court, on the volleyball court, and we are so very sorry you missed your final year of tennis. We know that was a fun sport for you, with lots of opportunity there to keep you athletic, keep you moving in your volleyball off season as well. But we appreciate all you did at Silver Creek, a great athlete to follow. Thank you for all of your work, and we're sorry that you didn't get to finish on the tennis courts here in Southern Indiana this year. Faith Weitzel, our profile today, our senior spotlight for spring sport athletes. That's going to wrap things up for this Friday program. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll be back on Monday at 11 a.m. with you every day next week, as always, at 11 a.m. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Thank you, seniors, for the memories. And thanks all of our senior spotlight sponsors, Scott Aldridge of Edward Jones, Walnut Ridge Landscaping, and UPS.com/Louisville.